Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. We thank you. This is the day that you've made. We do rejoice and are glad in it. Oh, Lord God, we are glad in this day. You are wonderful, you are worthy, and you are welcome in this place. Have your way now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, we're going to be looking again today. A couple weeks ago, last week we were in Tulsa, so I did not preach last week, but we're going to look at some of the same area and a little bit more concerning really the basics of the faith, And so let's turn over again to Hebrews chapter 5, Hebrews chapter 5 verses 12 through 14. That's the last three verses of this chapter. And it says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God." That's the basics. "And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled," that's inexperienced, "in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Solid food belongs to those who are of full age," that is, those who are mature, "that is, those who by reason of use," that's habitual use, that's those who practice this, "they have their senses trained or exercised to discern both good and evil." So, he says, at this point in your Christian walk, you should be at the point where you could teach others. That you need somebody to teach you again what be the ABCs of the faith. And then we go into the sixth chapter, and he talks about some of those. Hebrews 6 and verses 1 through 3 there, he says, "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ," again, the basics, "let us go on to perfection," that is, to maturity. And then he begins talking about what some of the basics of the faith are, "not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works," and that's what we talked about last time, "and of faith toward God." Those two kind of go together. You have the negative, which is repentance from, and then you have the positive, which is faith towards. And it says faith towards God. So we have "not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits." So today we're going to go again, and we're going to look at this. At the tail end of verse 1, it talks about the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. And I talked about repentance from and faith toward last time, and repentance from dead works, that is the way of works, and then faith toward God, and we talked about salvation. But today, I want to go a little bit further on the subject of faith, and I want to talk about faith toward God. Faith toward God. Now, when we talk about faith toward God, you need to understand this. You have faith toward God when you have faith in His Word. You know, you can say, "I trust someone," and they say, "I'm going to give you $5. Well, if you trust their word, "I'm going to give you $5, then you trust them. I don't have $5 to give you right now in my pocket. I don't have a wallet in my pocket, and quite honestly, I don't carry cash anymore. But if I were to say, "I'm going to give you $5, you have to believe that I am trustworthy to give you, Scott, you got $5? I know he carries cash. But if I were to say, "I'm going to give you $5, you have to trust my word. But when you trust my word and you believe, you put your faith in my word, then you're actually putting your faith in me. Because honestly, if we are going to understand the things of God, He never lies. It actually says He cannot lie in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, and then in Hebrews chapter 6, it actually talks about that very same thing, that God can't lie. So if He can't lie, then for us to trust His word is great, but then we need to go beyond just merely trusting, and we need to put faith in His word. So faith toward God is faith toward His word, what He has to say. And I'm going to tell you, if you have faith in His Word, He'll bring it to pass in your life, if you exercise that faith. Now, let's go over to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, And we'll read verses 3 and 4. For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true and every man a liar, as is written, that you may be justified in your words and may overcome when you are judged. This actually talks about judging God here. And people say, oh, I would never do that, but you do it every day. You do it every day. Either you trust His word and you put faith in His word, or you don't. And so you're either trusting Him and having faith in Him, or you're not. But this says, and again, going back to verse 3, what if some did not believe? Now, you get a hold of the word of God, and we were talking about this with a couple just yesterday. You get a hold of the word of God, you're getting a hold of God Himself. Because you cannot separate Him from His word. He will keep His word if you have faith in Him. But you may have people around you that are speaking to you saying, that's not right. You may have people around you which are putting more faith in what someone else says, more faith in feeling, more faith in circumstances than they are in God. Because what God says may not line up with circumstances. God has said in Philippians chapter 4, He said, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I put my faith in His word, which means I'm putting my faith in Him, but the circumstances of life may say, you're not going to have enough. The people around me may be saying, you just got laid off from your job. You're not going to make it. The people around me, my family may be saying, oh, you know, and stroking you and trying to make you feel better. I know it's bad. Well, their unbelief will not make God unfaithful to His word. Your faith is stronger by far than their unbelief if you don't grab a hold of their unbelief. The danger is surrounding yourselves with people of unbelief who are always talking feeling, who are always talking emotion, who are always talking circumstance, who are always talking what they see and hear and smell and taste and touch. They're always talking those things. And God has said, you are to walk by faith, you are to live by faith, you are to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. And these things, the emotions and the five senses, are mere flesh stuff. Now, I'm not saying that we can't see some things. I'm not saying that we can't feel some things. I'm saying God's word is greater than what you see and feel. And somebody else's doubt concerning God's word will not stop God from being faithful to His word if you will put your faith in His word. Now, again, putting your faith in His word is putting your faith in Him, because you cannot separate the two. You cannot separate the two. So let's read this again, Romans chapter 3, verses 3 and 4 out of the Amplified Classic. What if some did not believe and were without faith? Does their lack of faith and their faithlessness nullify and make ineffective and void the faithfulness of God and His fidelity to His word? By no means. Absolutely not. You could put it that way. So if you've got a hold of God's word, I mean, you've got a hold of His word, it doesn't matter what somebody else's unbelief may speak to you, don't grab a hold of it. Because if you have a word from God, you can stand on that and you can walk this out. We're going to talk about how we do that, but I want to give you another verse, John chapter 10. John chapter 10 and verse 30. It says here, I and my Father are one. Now, this is, you know, and the letters are in white there. This is not in color. Red letter edition, that's in red. In other words, that's the words of Jesus. I and my Father are one. In the same way that God the Son and God the Father are one, whenever God speaks, His word and He are one. So His word can be trusted. And you can put your faith in His word. People are always talking about putting their faith in God, but they won't put their faith in His word because they don't see it first. Faith is not seeing and believing. Again, we don't live in Missouri. We live in Illinois. Missouri is the place where their motto is, show me and I'll believe it. They're called the show me state. We are in Illinois. We definitely need to, in Illinois, be believing God. Because we live in Illinois. We need to be believing God. We believe because He said it, and because He said it and we believe it, we'll see it come to pass. We don't believe because we see, we believe because He said it. And not only do we believe, we put our faith in Him. So we put our faith in Him. I'm not beating up on Missouri. We used to live on the other side of the state, and we used to get the Missouri TV stations and radio stations, and it was, you know, we knew it was called the Show Me State. So I'm not beating up on Missouri. I actually like Missouri a lot. Missouri, forgive me. In the same way that Jesus and the Father are one, so also is God and His Word. They are one. And when you have faith in God's Word, you have faith in God Himself, for He is inseparable from His Word. And there's a verse we're going to read here in just a few minutes. It says He watches over it to perform it. This faith that we're talking about, this faith is not merely belief. It is a firm persuasion, a conviction based upon hearing, which leads to a corresponding action. That is the definition of biblical faith. A firm persuasion, a conviction based upon hearing, which leads to a corresponding action. There has to be an action to your faith. James talks about this much. He says, faith without works, that when it talks about works, and this is not talking about your salvation is settled by what God did. But what he's talking about is a corresponding action. He says, faith without works or faith without a corresponding action is dead. In other words, it profits nothing. You may believe it, but if there's not an action to your faith, then you're not going to see come to pass what God said. So, let's go over then to Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 12. And this is the verse that I was talking about. Jeremiah 1 and verse 12. It says, then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am actively watching over my word to fulfill it. Don't worry about God's side. He'll do what He said. Your part is to believe and to act in faith. And again, to do so before you see anything come to pass. Before you see anything come to pass. You will see it come to pass, but you don't need to have seen it and then declare it. Again, we don't live in Missouri. Sorry, Missouri. So, then the Lord said unto me again, you have seen well, for I am actively watching over my word to fulfill it. The old King James said, he watches over his word to perform it. He'll do what he said. That's his part. That's his part. Now, let's go over to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. It says here, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached, now when it talks about unto them, he's actually, the context within which this is written is he's talking about the nation of Israel, specifically when they came out of the land of Egypt. This is the place in time that he's talking about. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as it was unto them, but the word preached them did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So, when they came out of Egypt, Moses sent 12 spies into the land, Canaan land, into the land that was to become Israel. It was going to be their nation. And they brought, and you know, just to spy it out, just to look at it, and they came back with this report. God had told them, it is a land that flows with milk and honey. In other words, it's a land of abundance. God had sent, you know, had sent them out of Egypt into this land, and they sent out these spies to look at the nation that they were going into. They came back, and they had two men. It took two men to carry a cluster of grapes. Now, it does not tell us the grapes were this big. All it says is it took two men to carry a cluster of grapes. They put a pole and carried it that way. And so they're carrying it. It could have been just such a massive cluster that there were so many grapes. I mean, there could have been hundreds of grapes on this one cluster. Or they could have been massive. We don't know. But they bring this back, and the report was, it's like God said. Oh, we see all this stuff, and I mean, it is amazing. But there's also giants in the land. And because there's giants in the land, we can't take it. They said this, we are grasshoppers in our own sight, so we are in their sight. Now, when you see yourself as a grasshopper, others will see you that way. When you see yourself as insignificant, others will see you that way. And that's what the nation of Israel did. God had said, I'm giving this land to you. Two of those spies came back. Their names, Joshua and Caleb. They came back and said, oh, it's exactly what God said, but we can take the land. The other 10, we can't. 10 people stopped an entire nation from going into the promised land for 40 years. 40 years. Why? They had heard the word of God. God had said, I'm giving you this land. They had heard the word of God. It's a good land. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. They had heard this. This was the preaching of God unto them. I'm giving you this. But because of the circumstances, they said, we can't do it. And they would not mix faith with the promise, it's yours. Matter of fact, in this same section of Scripture, and I don't have it in my notes, but it says that God had already given it to them before this. It was already, it was like God had given them a deed and said, this is yours. It belongs to you. And there are things that God says are yours. They're in what we call the Bible, the Holy Word of God. And when He says it to you, it's as if you have a deed that says, this belongs to you. And when you have this deed that says, this belongs to you, you're hearing the preaching of that word. And you can get real excited about that. And you can believe it. And you can trust it. But if you don't have a corresponding action to your belief, it's not truly faith. They had to have a corresponding action to their faith or to their belief. So let's go over then. And look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So this tells us how faith comes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Now, I want to look at a few things here in this verse. So faith, this is the God kind of faith. This is the faith that He says we can have. This is the faith that develops when we hear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. And the old King James says the word of God, but it's actually the word of Christ. Now there's two things I want to look at here. First of all, the word. There are different words from the original Greek that are translated as word, one of which is logos or logos, however you want to pronounce it. That's not what this one is. This is the word rhema, R-H-E-M-A. And when it uses this word, it means faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the spoken word. That's what rhema means, the spoken word. Now, every single word of God was spoken, and we can trust it. But this is talking specifically about when God speaks it to your heart. When He speaks it to your heart. That spoken word of God. Now I'm going to tell you, you can have a spoken word from God every single day. You spend time in His presence, and there are going to be times where He speaks specifically to you from the Scriptures. You realize it says God is love, so every time He speaks to you, it is love speaking. God is love, so love speaks to you. And you can have a word from Him every day. And as you're reading the Word of God, the written Word of God, the Bible, as you're reading it, it will jump out at you off the page. It's like God takes a highlighter and highlights it, and then not only does he highlight it, he causes it to become three-dimensional. And then we get the fourth dimension by walking it out. That's the experience side of it. But God will give you a spoken word, and we can trust that. And it says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the spoken word of Christ. That word Christ is the word Christos in the Greek. And it means the anointed one and his anointing. Now, Jesus himself said, the Spirit, or he said there in Luke 4:18, he talked about the anointing. He said, the anointing is upon me because he has, you know, and he tells about his ministry. But when he talks about the anointing is upon me, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. The anointed one and his anointing. In other words, the anointed one is Christ Jesus, and his anointing is the Holy Spirit, which came upon him. So, let's read this. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the spoken word of the anointed one and his anointing. So, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the anointed one's word. And the anointing's word, the word of the Holy Spirit to you. So when the Holy Spirit gives you revelation, when he speaks to you, when he does that, it is God's word. And when he does that, it being God's word, the anointed one, and his anointing, it's a spoken word to you. It may be the written word, but all of a sudden, it's now, boom, the spoken word. I got it. And because it's the spoken word, he says faith comes when you've gotten that spoken word from the Holy Spirit. The more time you are in the Word of God, you're going to find out that you get more spoken word. He's going to give you more revelation. He's going to give you more word. And as he gives you more word, that spoken word, you have a place for your faith to stand. I can preach and preach and preach and preach and preach all day. I can. I could stay here and preach to you all day. I've got a lot of sermons that I've never preached. I can drag them out and preach them all. I could preach to you all day. I could be like Paul. I preach all day and all night to the point where somebody falls out of a window because they fall asleep. Then I have to go out and raise them from the dead because that's what Paul did. Now, I'm not going to do that. But I could preach to you all day long and you not have faith. But when the Holy Spirit takes something and brings you revelation of that, that's a place of the spoken word. You get into the Word of God, you're going to find out, man, you will be reading along, and you just got to stop because it's so good. You may find yourself going, man, that's so good. It's almost like you're eating a food that you absolutely love. And you go on to the next verse, and you stop, and, oh, man, that's so good. And then you go on to the next verse, and, oh, man, it's so good. You'll find out that the Holy Spirit will bring light to so much. It's amazing. I mean, I have been reading along just here recently, and I'm reading certain verses, and it's like, dear God, this is so good. How did I miss that all this time? And this is so good, it's almost unbelievable because it's so good. But it is believable. So when he speaks to you, it gives you a place for your faith. It gives you a place for your faith. Now, let's go over to Mark 11. Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24. Mark 11, and Jesus answering saith unto them, now the context again that this is written in is Jesus is going with his disciples the day before, and he sees this fig tree, and he walks up to it, and it's got leaves on it, but it doesn't have any figs. And he curses it and says, nobody's ever going to eat from you ever again. His disciples heard it. They go into town, they go into the temple, they come out. The next day, they're going back into Jerusalem. And his disciples go, oh, look at this. Jesus, 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 that tree that you cursed, look at this. It's dried up from the roots. It's dried up from the roots. In other words, your words did exactly what you said they would do. He didn't see it the moment that he spoke it, but pretty quickly thereafter, they saw the results of it. And Jesus then begins to teach them. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Now, again, have faith in God, you know, have faith in his word. But a better translation of this is, have the God kind of faith. Have the God kind of faith. And then he talks about that in the next couple of verses. Have the God kind of faith. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Then in verse 24, he goes on and gives us even more revelation. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall ask them. Verse 24 there, again he said, therefore whatsoever I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, that word is actually the word ask. Whatsoever things you ask. It's translated at most places. Whatever you ask, and it really is to put a demand on what's legally and rightfully yours. Talked about that in School of the Spirit this morning. To put a demand on what's legally and rightfully yours. So, he says, what things soever you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Now, the order of this is not see it and then you believe that you've got it. No. He says, whatsoever things you desire or you ask when you pray, believe that you receive when. Not when you see it, when you ask. Believe it, that's the believing part. Speaking is the corresponding action. The corresponding action to your faith is to speak. When God gives you a word, he's given us a whole bunch of them. But when it comes to life for you, when it truly comes to life for you, oh dear God, I see it, I see it, I see it, I understand it. You said, he was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And with his stripes, I am healed. You said it, you said it, you said it, you said it, and I believe it, and therefore I declare, I don't feel any different, I don't look any different, it doesn't seem any different, but I believe it, I believe it, I believe it, I believe it, and I declare the action of my faith is I believe I am the healed of God because he shed his blood, because he was beaten and took those stripes, because he raised from the dead to settle it once and for all. I am the healed of God. That is the corresponding action to your faith. Too many people say, I believe, it's got to come to pass, and they never say anything. There is zero corresponding action to their faith, to their belief. You have to have a corresponding action. And that corresponding action is most of the time your words. Now, if God says specifically to do something, your words are not enough. He may say, we can go back to the Old Testament. We can look at one Assyrian who went into Egypt to be healed. He was a leper. And they went to the prophet. And the prophet said, go and dip 7 times in the Jordan River. Well, this Syrian was angry. And he actually says, I thought he would at least come out and clap his hands over me. Maybe lay hands on me. Maybe speak something to me. He just sent his servant out to tell me, go dip in the river. We've got better rivers than this in Syria. And he was angry. I mean, he was furious. He was basically a general. He was a well-established man, a leader. And his servant said, well, if he had told you to go do some great deed, wouldn't you have done it? You see, for him to say, I believe I'm healed, wasn't enough. Because God gave him specific instructions through the prophet and said, go dip in the river 7 times. And he went and dipped in the river 7 times and came up and he was completely healed. There's more to the story, but that's tremendous. If God tells you, you need to do this, then do it. I've had God tell me certain things. I've had issues at different times with my bowels without going into great detail. I've had issues with that. And there have been times where I have believed God, and But I continued to have these issues for years. And God said, quit drinking coffee. I could have been speaking all the time, I'm the healed of God, 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 and continue to drink coffee and continue to have problems. I mean, just sitting there, my stomach, you know, your intestines would be making all kinds of noise. It was not pleasant. Dealt with that for years. But I had then had a spoken word from God, quit drinking coffee. I quit drinking coffee and it went away. My words would not have been sufficient action for my faith. But because he spoke it, and he gave me specific, you know, I had to do what he said. But most of the time, your enough action, sufficient action for your faith is your words. I believe what you said, and I speak it. I declare it, I believe it, and I'm going to walk this out. I see it on the inside. I haven't seen it in the natural yet, but I believe it. I grab hold of that by faith. And when you do, this is walking by faith. And this is faith in God because I have faith in His Word. Let me give you a few more verses and we'll begin to wrap it up. Just want to talk about the power that is available. Romans 1 and verse 16. Romans 1 and verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You could put it this way, I'm not ashamed of the Word of God. I'm not ashamed of the Word of the Anointed One and His anointing. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, what? The gospel, the Word of God. Okay? The Word of God. For I'm not ashamed of the Word of God. For the Word of God is what? The power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. To everyone that believes, the Word of God is the power of God. This is such a tremendous verse, and you need to get a hold of this. It's so easy to read by this. This is in Romans chapter 1, and there is an immense amount of information in Romans chapter 1, but the revelation is, I'm not ashamed of what God says of His Word, because His Word is His power unto everyone that believes His Word. And when we talk about believing His Word, we're talking about putting our faith in Him, which means we must have the corresponding action. But He says, the Word of God, the gospel, the Word of God, is the power of God unto salvation. We can think of that merely as to get us saved, to get us into heaven. But that word salvation in the Greek is the word soteria. And it means salvation, but it also means deliverance. It means prosperity. It means healing. Whatever you have need of, that's encapsulated within that word soteria. So what it says is the Word of God has encapsulated within it, every time He speaks, power. Power to bring to pass everything that He says. That's why when you find something that He says is yours, there's power in that, and you can grab hold of that by your faith and declare it as an action to your belief. I'm not ashamed, because within the middle of that word that He says, that middle of that word that He speaks, the middle of that word that you get a hold of and you have that revelation of, the middle of that is power. And He says you grab that power by your faith, which means there's going to have to be a corresponding action. And then in Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 1 and verse 37. For with God nothing shall be impossible. This is an angel speaking to Mary. And, you know, she, of course, says, so be it as you have said. But this verse, a more literal translation of this is, no, not a single spoken word of God is void of power. In other words, let's flip that to the positive, every single spoken word of God is filled with the power of God. And not only the power of God, but the power of God to do what He speaks. This is why it's important to get a hold of what He says in the written word. and let it become the living word to you. Let it become alive. Let it become that spoken word of God. God will do that for you. There is immense power. There is immense power in His Word. Not a single spoken word of God is void of power. So, when you find a section of Scripture, you're reading along, and you know it says, "But my God shall supply all my need, according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." And I'm looking at this section of Scripture, and I'm going, "Can that be? Is that true? This sounds too good to be true." Let me back up and see what he's talking about here. So we back up and we read it, and then we read beyond it, and so we get the context. And context is really important, but we do that, and we realize he's talking about finances. And then I read that verse again, and I go, "God, this is this true? Can this be true? This seems too good to be true. But my God shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." So I read it again, and I read the context again, and I find out that he's talking about those who are givers. So I read it, and I go, "Dear God, I'm a giver. I'm a giver. I'm a giver. I'm a giver. I am a giver. As a result, I qualify for this." So I read this, and I realize I qualify for this. I'm a giver, and I qualify for this, and it seems too good to be true. But it's not too good to be true, because it's God's Word. And encapsulated within that Word is the power to bring it to pass. My God, my God, my God, my God spoke it. Therefore, there's power in it. Again, not a single spoken word of God is void of power. So I get a hold of, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." And I realize that, and I begin then to put faith in action as I begin to declare, "God, I see it. I believe it. And I declare my every need is met. I look at my checkbook and it says I don't have enough. I look at what's around me and I see that the world's economy may not be where I want it to be. But I know that 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 I know you cannot lie. I know that you will not lie. I know that there's power in that." And I declare I'm moving the mountain of debt out of my life as I declare I am abundantly supplied for. And we walk this way day by day by day. This is not something you do once. This is something you do every day. You get in the Word of God and you live this out. You know, it talks about this, and I've got some more scriptures, but I'm not probably going to go into those. I'll just mention, we walk by faith and not by sight. The just shall live by faith. We're to live by faith. This is how we are intended to live. And we can do this. Now, there's another aspect of faith that we'll probably talk about next week. And that other aspect of faith is that faith is also a shield. And we'll look at that. But this is an aspect of faith where it's not always praying, "God, give me." It's about realizing what He's already given you. And what He's already given you, you access by faith. And you begin to declare, "I believe it. I will see it. Because I'm putting faith in action, it's mine," and you declare it. That's how faith works. So again, the basics of faith, part two, faith toward God is faith toward His Word. Now, he said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." He said, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is with the heart that man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Again, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If that's you and you say, "I've never done that," what you need to realize is without Jesus, you're a sinner, and without Jesus, you're headed to hell. And people don't like to talk about hell, but it's a real place. God did not design it for humanity. He designed it for the devil. But when we reject Jesus, we embrace the pathway of the devil. And you say, "Oh, I would never do that." But when you reject Jesus, you have done that. Because there's only two paths. One leads to heaven, the other to hell. And if you would say, "You know, I've never received Jesus as my Lord, but I want to. I'm going to ask every head bowed, every eye closed, if there'd be even a single person in the room or anybody online who would say, "That's me. I need to receive Jesus as my Lord. I've never done that." If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. Even online, you know, you say, "Well, you can't see me." No, it's an act of your faith. It is putting into action what you believe. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. And I want everybody in this room to just repeat this prayer behind me. And if you mean this from your heart, and I'm encouraging you, even if you're online watching and you'd say, I'm not in that room, if you will pray this prayer and believe it in your heart, in an instant you can be saved. So let's pray. Father God, I come to you now. I thank you for what Jesus did. He came from heaven to earth. He was tempted and overcame. He never sinned. He was delivered for my sins to hell. And he rose from the dead so that I might be made right with you. So Jesus, be my Lord. Save me now. In your name I pray. Amen. That quickly, you can be made right with God. If that's you, you did that online, if you did it here in the room, let us know, because we want to rejoice with you. It says that the angels of heaven rejoice, that all of heaven rejoices, and we want to rejoice with them that you've been made right with God. It's so important. Well, thank you for being with us. We'll see you again. God bless you.